Hello, everybody. This is Shay McCormick from the Cheap Home Grow podcast. And on today's show, we have an individual whose identity I cannot reveal because he currently grows in a country where it is illegal. But we were fortunate enough to have him on the show, and he is going to talk about his home grow setup. He is from New Zealand. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy this show. I think you guys will certainly appreciate it. And please remember to press the subscribe button.
Hello, and welcome to the Cheap Home Grow podcast, a show for individuals that want to learn more about growing cannabis indoors. This is a podcast dedicated to helping you with your indoor growing adventure. You'll learn how to grow your own and not have to rely on others for your medicine. The Cheap Home Grow podcast will also feature timely interviews with cannabis industry veterans shaping the culture and politics of cannabis. All right, here is your host, Shane McCormick, and the Cheap Home Grow podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Shane McCormick from the Cheap Home Grow podcast. And on today's show, we have a grower from New Zealand. And he is going to be talking about his indoor home grow setup. I'm not going to reveal his name because marijuana is currently illegal in New Zealand. So he asked me not to reveal who he is. But without any further ado, I will let him introduce himself to the audience, and then we can get right into talking about how he set up his own indoor grow setup. So take it away, my friend.
Okay. Without revealing who I am, I'm obviously a dude from New Zealand, just an average kind of guy. Started to wanting to get a secure form of supply for weed, which is extremely difficult in a country where it's illegal. So decided to take matters into my own hands and build my own operation to grow my own stuff. And now you're talking to me on Skype, or listening to me on Skype with Shane here. So, yeah.
All right, man. Hey, listen, thanks for coming on the show. Much appreciated. But really, I mean, let's get right into the meat of the conversation. Let's talk about how you, I guess, grow your own. I'm assuming in your own house, in a country where, you know, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, it is currently illegal. I mean, hopefully in time that changes. But how do you go about, you know, growing your own where you live?
Okay, so the main thing is obviously avoiding detection. So there's a few things around that. The main one is not to advertise the fact and tell anyone who is not involved directly. So there's a lot of discretion. The second one is not bringing activities around the place that would indicate that those sorts of things are going on, so I don't have a lot of people come to my house looking to buy weed or anything like that, because that's pretty obvious. And the biggest issue for me is the smell, because of the strains I grow, and it's the most obvious thing. Someone can walk to your front door, and if your house smells of weed, then it's pretty obvious what's going on in there. So those are the main things for me. Because of the legal status, is to keep it on the down low, keep it stealthy.
Right, sure. A stealthy home grow, as we like to say. I guess my question is, I mean, how do you go about setting something like that up? I mean, just imagine the other person that is listening in on this, and you know, let's say, you know, they're in a state or a country where, you know, it's not legal. And listen, I'm not advocating for people to break the law here. But I mean, however, with that being said, how would you, or what would you recommend that person do? I mean, how would they go? How would you go about setting up a indoor grow space in a very clandestine way?
Okay, so the main thing is that you need a space where you're not going to have people coming in and out and walking into the place and being made aware of what you're doing. So I think when we originally did this, I was speaking about having property that you are secure in. So either you own the property or you have a long-term lease that allows you to do alterations and things like that to your house, and you're not going to have landlords and things and property owners coming in and looking through your house all the time.
Right.
And the same goes for tradespeople or something like that. So say you're hot, you know, you've got something in your basement and your hot water cylinder or your furnace craps out, and you have to get a tradesman to come in, and they come into your room and there's this massive grow room in the corner, then that's, you're going to get sprung. So so having the permission, I suppose, or the license to do it. I own my own house, so I'm lucky in it. Is the main one, and then finding a place that's not going to have people walking past it or around it, and for it to be detected by people and easily like that. So for me, it's up in what your Americans would call it, the attic, ceiling space above my house, because it's the best location for me in terms of space and keeping it stealthy.
Yep. All right. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's in the attic, which, I'm sure that a lot of people that are listening in here, they can, they know what that is. But I guess, talking more about the attic, how do you set up a indoor grow space in your attic? I mean, what are some things, that you should or really should not do?
Okay, so just walking through the way I've done my particular build was we started with the floor. So up in the ceiling, obviously you've got ceiling joists and things like that to, the structure. Mm-hmm. So a big potted plant, when it's full of water, is actually quite a heavy thing, so you need a good solid floor. They're not going to handle sitting on ceiling tiles and things like that. They're going to end up in your house at the least opportune moment. So a solid base for a floor was the first thing, and then worked up from there. So the other, that's the only real issue around the ceiling side of things. The next issue for me was keeping the heat down, because the attic in the house is the warmest part of the house. So so that was purely for the climate control and keeping the temperature somewhere close to where it should be for me in the attic. And the next, all the rest of the stuff is your common sense grow room things, like the electricity should be above the water. So if the water's leaking or spilling, it's not getting onto your electrics and causing those sorts of issues, because that's not fun. And again, it's around keeping it all safe and like any grow room, and ventilation issues and things like that. I think we discussed that before about how ventilation comes up through the floor of the house, through a wardrobe floor into the attic.
Right.
Cool air supplied into that room.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, delving a little bit deep there about the environment. You mentioned that, like about, I don't know, maybe like 30 seconds ago. I mean, how do you go about controlling the environment in a space where, I'm assuming it's incredibly hot? Like, how would you do that, and what would you do in order to control that in that environment?
Yeah, well, the right and best way to do it is with an air conditioning unit, which is another thing that sucks power, has to be installed, is a fairly big capital cost. It would cost more to do just that than to build the rest of the room for me. So as I mentioned, I draw air from the coolest place I can possibly draw it from, which is underneath my house, go up through a closet with the ducting and into the grow room from there. And the grow room itself is actually insulated because of the air gets up to and the ceiling gets up to approximately 40 degrees C, which is well over 100 Fahrenheit. And obviously it's getting a bit hot. So I've managed to keep the room temperature sort of closer to the mid-30s on the hottest possible days. So that helps. It's just getting that cool air into the place. If I had unlimited funds, I would seal it and air condition it and just put CO2 into it. But that's not cheap home grow.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Right. I'm glad you pointed that out there. But I'll tell you what. Now, in terms of bringing the cold air up, I know that we talked about this last time for the people that aren't listening in, we did another podcast maybe like a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, but the audio quality was so bad that I couldn't really do much with it. And I'm hoping that this show it's a lot better for you guys. But with that being said, can you please explain how do you actually vent up the cold air from below the house into the attic, which is on the highest level of the home itself? I mean, how do you, could you walk the listeners through that? I mean, how do you actually do that?
Okay, so the location of the grow room itself was chosen because that's how I wanted to run the air. So that's just finding a location that suits running a duct in a stealthy way from the ceiling to underneath the floor. So basically I found the closet, which is in my bedroom, which is helpful, and cut a hole in the floor and then run a duct up or run duct down, I suppose, from the ceiling into the bottom of the grow room, and it just goes straight down, and it draws air from underneath the middle part of the house, which gets no sunlight on it or heating from that point of view. So it should be the coolest air I can possibly get for free, and it just it just runs up inside the closet. There's a false wall in the closet, so you can't see the duct, and it just goes straight up into the floor of the grow room, and it also serves as an emergency drain. If there's too much water for whatever reason, it just flows straight out and goes underneath the house into the dirt under the house, and no one would know. I don't have any automatic watering set up or anything, so I'm not too worried about that kind of thing happening, but it's nice to have that provision. So it's just a simple piece of insulated air conditioning duct. That go flexible duct, and it just goes through a hole in the ceiling and the floor, and up comes the air.
Up comes the air. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's pretty impressive, man. I mean, that's wow. I'm sure a lot of people can, they can learn from that. They can, hopefully they can visualize that and, try and understand what that is and perhaps apply it to their own grow. And again, I'm not advocating to break the law, but I'm just saying, we're just talking out loud over here.
Well, even if it's not illegal, you've got to get your climate as close as you can with what you've got. So there's always ways around it. I mean, a basement is a perfect place because they tend to stay cooler. I've done the last place I lived at, I did a basement grow, and the temps were perfect for most of the year round for ambient temperature here. So, but this one's quite a bit different. So, so hence the measure of doing that.
Right. Sure. Yeah. I think I know what you're saying. I mean, what type of strains do you usually grow? I mean, do you have a specific strain? I mean, can you talk about that a little bit?
That's the thing, because it's illegal here, and you can't just go and buy a pack of seeds of a known strain. Mm. So I only actually have one strain growing at the moment, and it's just one that I was given for a birthday present. And I cannot tell you what it is, unfortunately, because no one told me, and I'm guessing to guess what it is. It is, externally, it looks like a sativa to me. It's the tall plant, skinny finger leaves. It's a good strain. It's a very good strain. Very good high.
Okay.
Yeah, clean, a very clean, crisp high to it, and helps me stay productive. If I use it, I get out and start making things in the garage, and 5 hours will disappear on me, and I'll go, oh, look, yeah. So, so that's part of it for me, is actually looking for some different stuff to mix that up, and so maybe some more indica-based strains would be what I'm looking to expand into.
Okay. And, that's good.
If I had a good, supply of someone who could give me seeds that were, or, I could buy seeds or something, then I'd be away. But that, because it's illegal, it's really hard.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Back in the States, everybody knows here, what particular strain, it is, and so on and so forth. But, and also in terms of strain, that has a lot to do with marketing. A strain is a strain. If you ask me, it's not in the name. It's how you react to it in terms of if you're looking to be more productive, or if you're looking to get some sleep, or if you're looking to recover from a particular a traumatic event or anything along those lines, Right. I mean, now in terms of your setup, though, getting back to that, how much money would you say? Because my podcast, it's called Cheap Home Grow. How much money would you say you've spent on setting up your own indoor grow setup? How much money is that?
For me personally, I did quite well because I've had a couple of things sort of gifted to me. My ventilation fan was given to me as a favor. There's a couple of hundred Kiwi dollars there. Mm-hmm. The light itself was a couple of hundred Kiwi dollars. The materials, if I had to buy them, probably another couple of hundred bucks, but I've been able to recycle and reuse a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like the floor was made out of timber that was already existing in the ceiling that we had to remove to build the space. So it was just repurposing what was already there. I didn't paint the room white. I was given these advertising banners, which are white PVC printed things, and just put them in there inside out, so the whole room's actually white and vapor sealed. If I did go to the whole sealed box type setup with CO2 running, I could quite easily just do that. And there's just, I suppose it's time. And I don't know how to put value on time, because I'm capable of doing the work myself, because I'm a tradesman, kind of technical worker. The technicality of building the box to me was quite simple. And again, reused a lot of timber and things that I already had. So the box construction itself for me didn't cost anything. If you had to buy it and do it yourself, you'd, $200 maybe, if you bought panda sheet, for the white sheeting and things like that, and a bit of ducting. I think you could do what I've done for under $500, Kiwi dollars, which are not worth shit. So
well, actually, what's the exchange rate from Kiwi dollars to American dollars? Do you have any idea?
You get a it always used to be about 50 US cents to a New Zealand dollar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's about 74, I think now.
74, yeah, okay.
Maybe.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
so I turned up in the States, I'd get 74 cents on the
right.
dollar.
So it was for 500 Kiwi dollars. So that's like what, like 3.25, in maybe in that range, I suppose. Well, that's good though.
Depends on how you do it, because I've got a fairly deep, 6-inch ventilation fan that just runs 24/7, which would have been a $200 kind of fan. If I had to buy it new, you could achieve the same sort of things with a couple of secondhand big computer fans. So, and you can probably pick them up for $40 with power supplies. So, there's just different ways to do things.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, yeah, it's like anything else. You just have to look at it in a different way in terms of, in terms of wanting to, save some money perhaps, sure.
I mean, well, the functions are all the same. You've got to introduce fresh air for replenishment of CO2. For me, I have to introduce fresh air for climate control as well. But the rules and the requirements are the same no matter what you're doing. You've got to get air moving around inside. So you've got your recirculate, your oscillating fan, and then fresh air or fresh CO2 or whatever, however you want to do that, and then climate control, and that's pretty much it.
Right. Okay. All right. Fair enough. I mean, can you offer, any suggestions or maybe tips, or are there any questions here that I haven't asked in terms of, in terms of setting up your indoor home grow setup in a, I guess a clandestine way?
At the start, I think the most clandestine thing you can do is not say, not tell anyone,
Right, yeah, sure. Exactly.
because people's mouths are the biggest spreader of information there is. The less people who know, the better. That's the main one. And the people who are involved are obviously have to be trusted, confident. They're not, I have other people involved in this who have helped me out, but they know that's it. Don't tell anyone. In the terms of the physical building or grow, I'm not sure. Like I said, it's not a complex thing. You have to have a light proof space that reflects as much light from, keeps everything going in terms of your light as much as possible. A reasonable amount of air tightness, and services, I suppose, being able to get, water your plants, because, that's the main thing you do, and being able to move around and trim them and do what you need to do and look after them. So it's the physical space you need is important, and having the ability to service them as well, I suppose, is the next one.
Yeah, that's another, yeah, that's a question that I wanted to ask. I mean, how do you service your grow? I mean, how do you service your indoor home grow setup? I mean, how does that work?
So I'm lucky because my house is old and it still has its water header tank in the ceiling, and so all I have to do is just wander down, scoop out a bit of water, and then put it into the plants. What I actually do is I mix up liquid fertilizer and have a couple of containers up there. I suppose about 5 gallons US sort of containers, taps on them, all pre-mixed and ready to go for terms of nutrients and keeping that side of it going. And like I said, the water's there. So only other thing is all the dirt that goes with it, because I'm growing in dirt. So there's a bit of recycling that goes on there, and a little bit of throwing things down the ladder.
Down the ladder. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's
Just like
yeah.
that.
Right. How do you actually go about cleaning your grow space? I mean, how does that, I mean, if you're doing it in an attic, I mean, how do you properly clean it?
I just haul my vacuum cleaner up there and vacuum it, and just we have you probably have them in the States, squeezy mops, mops with like a sponge on the end of them,
Oh yeah.
and then just give it a, yeah, That's it. Well, not too, because you can't spray water around the place because it's all going to end up in soaking your ceiling and turning it into Weet-Bix, and then it'll fall down. So you've got to be a bit careful about that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. For sure. Yeah, you don't want to, you know, do anything stupid there.
No.
Right.
Your attic room will end up not in your attic anymore.
Sure. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, you don't want to. You know, you don't want to be eating breakfast one day and then all of a sudden, you know, your entire roof falls on you and, you know, kills your family, you know. Exactly. All right. So we talked about the setup. We talked about the cleaning. We talked about the strains that you like to grow, although you don't know what they're called, which is okay. But
well, I mean, interesting thing you brought up was about the marketing of the strains, because there's obviously a commercial aspect to people who are allowed to grow it and sell stuff. So, mm-hmm. So of course, they're going to market it to you. But because I didn't have that, I had no expectations about what I had. So mm-hmm. I had unclouded judgment, which was, probably one of the best strains I've actually ever had, to be perfectly honest. And I'm completely lucky on that side of it. So, yeah.
Okay. You said unclouded judgment. Is that what it's called? Is that what you said it was called?
Well, you know, I didn't have any expectations about what it was. And, you know, so I didn't read a packet and say, oh, this is an indica and it's going to send you to sleep, or this is a sativa and you're going to be, you know, it was just like, well, this is the plan I've got, so let's just smoke it and see what happens.
Right. Okay, yeah, I mean, that's how it usually works, right? You know?
Yeah.
Sure, exactly, man.
now with the legality of it in certain places, I'm on Instagram, so I read about all these different strains and what they're supposed to do and all the colours and stuff and they have in their heads. And and I'd love to be involved in that, but being illegal, it's hard to be out and about with it.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, actually, you know something? There's another question for you. Is New Zealand, is there any progress in terms of the legality there, or is it, you know, kind of like still illegal, and if you get caught with it, you're going to jail for a very long time, or is it kind of like a slap on the wrist? I mean, you know.
It's the police are fairly lenient on it because it's a pretty victimless thing in the scheme of, you know, what's illegal. So yes, people do get convicted. They don't go to jail for a long time. It's not like states where people can get, you know, life for having, you know, pot brownies and other people eating them. Well, like I've heard, I don't know if that's true or not. You're a first time offender, you won't go to jail. Right. You'll get a fine. Maybe do some community service, if that, or get some counselling. So the enforcement side of things is quite low-key. On the other side of the legislation, I don't know if you're aware, but we changed government last year, and our government moved more towards the left. And part of what they did was, to get into government, was become a coalition, and one of the coalition partners is the Green Party, and they want to legalize cannabis. So part of the conditions of the coalition was that there will be a referendum in 2020 about whether this will be decriminalized, maybe, or even legalized. So and there's some before that, there's some movement around the whole medicinal cannabis thing, which I think is a no-brainer. So hopefully that gets through. But we shall see. Yeah, there's a bit of a it's a little bit hard to say, but I think there's a shift towards being a decriminalized admin. Yeah,
sure. Well, I mean that is certainly promising, you know, for your country there. I mean, it's, you know, that is some good signs.
Well, I mean, it's a commercial opportunity from especially the medicinal point of thing, because our country's temperate. We can grow it all the time, and we do a good job of growing it outside. There is a company who does it legally. They have a license to grow on the East Coast, and they're set up ready to go. So as soon as it becomes legal, they've got, you know, a billion-dollar industry just sitting there that can be taxed. I don't see why it's illegal. It seems silly to me.
Right. Yeah.
Here we are.
We're doing a podcast about it. So there you go. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. All right, man. Well, I mean, I'll tell you what, you know, before the show ends here, I mean, is there any questions, any comments that I might be, or any questions that I might be missing, or do you want to make any final statements, anything along those lines?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Pretty much covered what I do.
Okay.
No, not unless you can think of anything.
Right. I think we covered on all of the topics, and I think that made a pretty good show.
Hey everybody. Thanks for listening to my podcast. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and please remember to press the subscribe button. Also, please remember to rate and review this podcast. You can visit cheaphomegrow.com/episode35 to get show highlights. And please also remember to sign up for my email list. Thanks, everybody. I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Cheap Home Grow podcast. We do our best to bring you quality content. Let's grow together. Please hit the subscribe button and take time to share this podcast with a friend. Visit cheaphomegrow.com for our database of interviews and information. Until next time, be safe and grow easy.